Hello and welcome to Speak the Words of Cosmere podcast. I'm Sean from the future while editing. We recorded this episode pretty much immediately after we recorded the last little bit of the last episode. And so we didn't do an intro, so I have to do an intro now. This is a podcast where I slowly but surely explain the story of the Cosmere to my co-host Mango. Currently, we are finishing up Oathbringer, the third book of the Stormlight Archive. Last time, we covered all of part five up until the point where Dalinar opened the Perpendicularity. Now we're going to dive into the battle. I hope you guys enjoyed the episode. Chapter 120, The Spear That Would Not Break. It has just the general symbol, and the epigraph reads, "If the journey itself is indeed the most important piece, rather than the destination itself, then I traveled not to avoid duty, but to seek it. From the Way of Kings, Postscript." And we start in Kaladin's point of view. Kaladin rose into the sky, alive with stormlight. Below him, Dalinar walked toward the red mist. Kaladin felt good to be in the real world again. A group of Windspren dodged around him. Perhaps they were the ones who had come to him on the other side, the ones he had failed. "Kaladin," Syl said, "you don't need another reason to berate yourself." She was right. He could be down on himself sometimes. Was that the flaw that had prevented him from speaking the words of the fourth ideal? For some reason, Syl sighed. "Oh, Kaladin." "We'll talk about it later," he said. For now, he'd been given a second chance to protect Dalinar Kholin. Stormlight raging inside of him, the Syl spear a comfortable weight in his hand, he lashed himself downward and crashed to the stones near Amaram. The High Lord, in turn, fell to his knees. Amaram was coughing. He tipped his head back, faceplate up, and groaned. Had he just swallowed something?
Oh no.
And we cut to Adolin's point of view. Adolin prodded at his stomach. For a time, he'd been sure he would die. Here he was anyway. The Radiance broke apart to do Dalinar's bidding, though Shallan knelt to check on Adolin. "How do you feel? Do you realize how fond I was of this jacket?" "Oh, Adolin." "Really, Shallan? Surgeons should take more care with the clothing they cut open. If a man's going to live, he'll want that shirt. And if he dies, well, he should at least be well-dressed on his deathbed." She smiled, then glanced over her shoulder toward the troops with red eyes. "Go," he said. "I'll be fine. Save the city. Be radiant, Shallan." She kissed him, then turned and stood. That white clothing seemed to glow, the red hair a striking swatch as stormlight rose from her. Pattern appeared as a shard blade. She wove her power, and an army climbed from the ground around her. Hundreds of illusions rose around her. Soldiers, shopkeepers, washwomen, scribes, all drawn from her pages. They glowed brilliantly, light streaming from them, as if each were a knight radiant. Adolin climbed to his feet and came face to face with an illusion of himself. The illusory Adolin glowed with stormlight and floated a few inches off the ground. She'd made him a windrunner.
I can't take that.
He turned toward the city. His father had been focused on the Radiance and had neglected to give Adolin a specific duty, so maybe he could help the defenders inside. Adolin picked his way across the rubble and through the broken wall. Yasna stood right inside, hands on hips. The gap opened into a city square. Adolin reached for a discarded sword, then paused and, feeling a fool, summoned his shard blade. "I'm sorry," he said, "and thank you." He headed toward one of the nearby clashes where men were shouting for help. And we cut to Zeth's point of view. Zeth of the Skybreakers envied Kaladin, the one they called Stormblessed, in the honor of protecting Dalinar Kholin. But of course, he would not complain. He had chosen his oath, and he was due as his master demanded. He landed near Lyft. "So," she said to him, "how do we find that ruby?" Zeth pointed towards the ships docked in the bay. "The creature carrying it ran back that way." "Figures. You aren't going to try to eat me again, right? Don't be silly. You aren't evil. You're nice, and I don't eat people." "I will not draw the sword unless you're already dead and I decide to accept death myself." "Great. You're supposed to contradict me, Zeth, when I say I don't eat people. Vasher always did. I think he was joking. Anyway, as people who have carried me go, you aren't very good at this."
"No, I am not very good at being a person. It is a failing of mine."
"It's all right. Be happy. Looks like there's a lot of evils to slay today." "That's great!" "Right?" Then the sword started humming.
Why did Nightblood suddenly become
the, he did the Tony
the Tiger thing?
He did the Tony the Tiger. I didn't add that in. It's literally great! Like, he literally says it like that. We go back to Kaladin's POV. The brands on Kaladin's head seemed a fresh pain as he dove to strike Amaram.
He rebuffed Kaladin's attack with an armored forearm. You should thank me, boy. Thank you? For what? For showing me that a person could be even more loathsome than the petty light eyes who ruled my hometown? I created you, spearman. I forged you. Amaram pointed at Kaladin with Oathbringer, then he extended his left hand, summoning a second blade. Kaladin knew that blade well. He'd won it, saving Amaram's life, then refused to bear it. Don't be intimidated, Syl whispered. History notwithstanding, he's only a man, and you're a Knight Radiant. The Vambrace of Amaram's armor pulsed suddenly as if something were pushing it from beneath.
Vambrace? You mean cuff?
No, it's a Vambrace.
So cuff. I'm making a joke about Forspoken.
Oh, right! I forgot about that already. Man, what a lasting impact that game had.
Uh-huh.
The red glow from the helm deepened, and Kaladin got the distinct impression of something enveloping Amaram. A black smoke. The same that Kaladin had been seen surrounding Queen Aesudan. Other sections of Amaram's armor began to rattle or pulse, and he suddenly moved with a violent burst of speed, swinging with one shard blade, then the other. We got to Dalinar's point of view. Dalinar slowed as he approached the main core of the thrill. He saw familiar faces reflected in it. Hello, old friend, Dalinar whispered, then stepped into the red mist. And we cut to Shallan's point of view. Shallan stood with arms outstretched. Stormlight expanded from her on the ground, a pool of liquid light, radiant mist swirling above it. It became a gateway. From it, her collection emerged. Every person she'd ever sketched, from the maids in her father's house to the honor spren who had held Syl captive. Men and women, children and grandparents, soldiers and scribes, mothers and scouts, kings and slaves. I lost these, Shallan said as Yalb the sailor climbed from the mist and waved to her. He drew a glowing shard spear from the air. I lost these pictures. You are close to them, Pattern said. Close to the realm of thought and beyond. All the people you've connected to over the years. Her brothers emerged. She'd buried worries about them in the back of her mind, held by the Ghostbloods. No word from any Spanreed she tried. Her father stepped from the light, and her mother. The illusions immediately started to fail, melting back to light. Then, someone seized her by the left hand. Forming from mist was Vale? Wiser than Shallan and more focused, capable of working on smaller pieces when Shallan grew overwhelmed by the large scale of her work. Another hand took Shallan's on the right, radiant, in glowing guarded shard plate, reserved and cautious. She nodded to Shallan with a steady, determined look. Others boiled at Shallan's feet, trying to crawl from the stormlight, their glowing hands grabbing at her legs. No, this was enough. She had created Vale and Radiant to be strong when she was weak. She squeezed their hands tight. The other versions of Shallan retreated into the stormlight. Then, farther out, figures by the hundreds surged from the ground and raised weapons at the enemy. You asked if there was a girl power scene, in here. Not like an endgame, but you do get a pretty neat scene of Shallan, Vale, and Radiant all together being like, we got this, together.
This
everyone.
Is like seeing Riku, and Riku fight next to each other.
We got to Adolin's point of view.
It's literally like Riku, and Riku.
It is.
They
Absolutely.
Are me, except they're not me. I'm me.
Yeah, that one's not you, it's me.
Uh-huh.
Adolin now accompanied by some 24 soldiers, charged through the streets of the Low Ward. One of his men points toward a large group of soldiers running in the direction of Yasna. They charge towards an alley, hurrying to help Yasna, when a soldier with red eyes suddenly hurtled through the air overhead. The unfortunate man crashed into a rooftop. As they approached, another body smashed into the wall right by the opening. Adolin peeked around the corner, expecting to find another stone monster. Instead, he found only Yasna Colin, looking completely nonplussed. A glow faded around her, different from the smoke of her stormlight, like geometric shapes outlining her. All right, then. Yasna didn't need help. Adolin leads his men to a group of pinned-down Thalen soldiers. He goes in first with his shard blade, decimating the enemy soldiers, and after saving them, is bothered by how he always seemed to have to solve his problems with killing. He recognizes one of the Thalen soldiers he's just rescued as Queen Fenn's son, Kadralk, who tells Adolin that their parents are trapped on the nearby wall. They join their forces and make their way towards the wall. And we cut to Yasna's point of view. Yasna stepped over a corpse. Her blade vanished in a puff of stormlight, and Ivory appeared next to her. This place is three still, he said. Almost three. Or three places are nearly one, Yasna replied. Another batch of Glory Spren flocked past, and she could see them as they were in the cognitive realm. An incredible amount of stormlight thrummed inside her, more than she'd ever held before. Another group of soldiers broke through Shallan's illusions. Yasna casually flipped her hand toward them. Once their souls would have resisted. Today, the men just all kind of puff into smoke at the barest thought. It was so easy that a part of her was horrified. She felt invincible. The human body wasn't meant to be stuffed this full of stormlight. Dalinar had closed his perpendicularity, however. Three worlds, Ivory said, slowly splitting apart again. But for now, three realms are close. Then let's make use of it before it fades, shall we? She stepped up before the rent portion of the wall, a gap as wide as a small city block, then raised her hands. And we cut to Zeth's point of view. Zeth of the Skybreakers led the way toward the Parchment Army, the Child Edge Dancer following. Zeth feared not pain, he feared not death. He feared only that he had made the wrong choice. Zeth expunged that fear. Nin was correct. Life could not be lived making decisions at each juncture. As they get close to the Singer army, they flee away from Zeth and Lift. There, he said. I suspect they are going to warn the one we seek. I'm after it, crazy face. Sword, don't eat anyone unless they try to eat you first. She zipped off in her silly way. When she reached the ship, she somehow scrambled up its side, then squeezed through a tiny porthole. The parchmen here didn't seem aggressive. They shied away from Zeth. Zeth glanced at the sky and picked out Nin still watching. Zeth could not fault the Herald's decision. The law of these creatures was now the law of the land. But that law was the product of the many. Zeth had been exiled because of the consensus of the many. You could not arrive at excellence by the average of these people. Excellence was an individual quest, not a group effort. A flying fused leaves the ship, carrying the ruby that they're looking for, followed by Lift, who's cursing up a storm. Wow, the sword said. That's impressive vocabulary for a child. Does she even know what that last one means? Zeth lashed himself into the air after the fused. If she does know what it means, do you think that she'd tell me? The enemy swooped across the battlefield, and Zeth followed. They soon passed among the fighting illusions. Zeth followed close. This fused was talented, better than the Skybreakers had been. The chase took him in a long loop, eventually swinging back down near where Dalinar was walking through the edge of the red mist. The whispered voices grew louder, and Zeth put his hands to his ears as he flew. The fused was smooth and graceful, but sped up and slowed less quickly than Zeth did. He took advantage of this, cutting to the side as they turned. Zeth collided with the enemy, and they twisted in the air. The fused stabbed Zeth with a wicked knife. Fortunately, with stormlight, that didn't do anything but cause pain. Zeth lashed them both downward, holding tight, and sent them crashing to the stone. The gemstone rolled free as the fused groaned. Zeth lashed himself gracefully to his feet, then slipped along the stone at a glide. He scooped up the ruby with his free hand. Wow, the sword said. Thank you, Sword Nimi. I meant that. To your right. Three more fused were swooping down toward him. He appeared to have gotten the enemy's attention. And we cut to Adolin's point of view. Adolin and Kadral could get to the top of the wall and reunite with Fen, her consort, and Navani. Navani hugged him. Elokar? She asked. Adolin shook his head. I'm sorry. She pulled him tight, letting out quiet tears. He pulled his aunt tighter, feeling her pain mirror to his own. Finally, they broke, Navani drying her eyes. I saw your betrothed and the bridgeman down below. So, everyone but him? I'm sorry, aunt. We failed him. Elokar and Colin are both. She blotted her eyes and stiffened with determination. Come, our focus now has to be on keeping this city from suffering the same fate. They do like a strategy meeting, where Adolin tells, Adolin is about to say like, hey, we gotta get the troops together. And as he's saying that, a sudden whooshing sound cut him off. He stumbled back as the wall shook, then the broken gap in it mended. Metal grew like crystals to fill the hole, springing into existence. The end result was a beautiful, brilliant section of polished bronze melding with the stonework and completely sealing the gap.
Hello?
The Oathbringer cover art. I'm going to post it again for you. Is Yasna soulcasting the wall to fix it?
Oh, and there's the stairs coming out of nowhere that she created.
Yasna just kind of walks over to a section of ground, listens to it for a bit, and then
Sol casts away some rubble to reveal a corpse beneath with a shard blade.
Excuse me? She was able to hear a shard blade?
Yeah. We're going to explain it again when we get it. Or we're going to fully explain it when we get into her point of view again. But Adolin sends Queen Fenn's son down to go get the shard blade. And pretty much he says, go around rescuing all the troops that are fighting nearby and form a perimeter around the wall to hold this section of the city. And they're like, okay, so what are you going to do? And then Adolin summoned his blade and pointed it toward the back of the ancient ward, where the gigantic stone monstrosity swept a group of soldiers from a rooftop. Those men seemed like they could use the help of a weapon designed specifically to cut through stone. And we cut to Kaladin's point of view. Amram fought with striking fury. Kaladin blocked one blade with the Syl Spear, and they locked for a moment. Throughout this entire battle, crystals are just fucking bursting out of Amram's body.
Oh yeah, just like the queen.
Kaladin flung himself backward as Amram swung his other blade, nearly connecting. Kaladin danced away. He blocked another hit, but the power of the blow sent him skidding backward on the stone. He launched himself into the air to get some distance. He looks over, he sees that some of the fused are starting to hover near Dalinar, so he lashes himself to go fight them. He fights them off, and then they go to fuck with Zeth, and he's like, all right, you know what? Hopefully the assassin has this, because I'm too busy. And then he looks back over at Amram, right as an arrow goes flying by him. Amram has pulled out his shard bow, which I don't know if you remember shard bows from Way of Kings, because they haven't really come up since then.
I forgot that that's a possibility.
Yeah, but
I mean, you can kind of turn it into whatever you want, so of course you can turn it into a bow.
So Amram is shooting him with arrows. Kaladin dodges them, and then dives in with a lance, forcing Amram to dodge, to roll away and drop the shard bow. And then Kaladin comes in on him again, and Amram just grabs Syl and fucking flings Kaladin. Kaladin summons Syl as a short spear and then rushes in again. And we go to Dalinar's point of view. The Thrill was happy to see Dalinar. He had imagined it as some evil force, like Odium or Sadeus. How wrong he was. Dalinar walked through the mist, and each step was a battle he relived. And he saw times when the Thrill withdrew, like when Dalinar had held Adolin for the first time, or when he'd grinned with Elikar atop a rocky spire on the Shattered Plains. The Thrill regarded these events with a sad sense of abandonment and confusion. And we cut to Yasna's POV. Yasna existed halfway in the cognitive realm. She willed steps to Soulcast beneath her feet, individual axes of air lined up and packed next to each other, then Soulcast into stone. So, axie is a word that they're only going to use when somebody really smart or really knowledgeable is talking. Think of it as like molecules.
So basically just Yasna and Tarvangian.
She's so powerful, she can pick out individual molecules to affect right now. She goes up to the top of the tower, where she meets up with Queen Fenn and her mother, and she starts giving them like orders. She's like, you know, rally the troops. And Navani's like, fucking look out. And Yasna doesn't even look as she soul casts a wall of oil for a fuse to fly through, then creates a spark of fire to burn the fuck out of them.
Oh my gosh.
And then she just keeps talking. She's like, take advantage of Shallan's distraction so that we can shore up the city. And Fenn is like, fucking look out. And Yasna can see half in Shadesmar, half in the physical realm right now. So she sees Spren moving in Shadesmar, reacting to the movement of another fused. And she just fucking summons Ivory and just cuts the head off the fused as it flies past. And then she's like, we gotta be ready so that once all the stormlight from Dalinar is gone, we can hold the city through normal means. And they're like, there's not enough enemy troops for that to be a real problem. And then Yasna points over at the Parchment Army, and their eyes are now starting to glow red.
Yeah, what were you saying about there not being enough enemies?
She asks where Renarin is, and Queen Fenn said that he was going up to deal with the Thunderclass and that Adolin is with him. And Yasna's like, okay, they can handle that. I'm going to go try to get make sure that my fucking ward doesn't get herself killed. And then we cut to Zeth's point of view. Zeth wove and dodged between the attacks of five enemy fused, carrying the large ruby in his left hand, the sheathed black sword in his right. He tried to approach Dalinar, but the enemy cut him off.
He skimmed the now repaired wall and crossed over the city, eventually soaring past the monster of stone. He dives down into the city streets, and the fused chase him. He goes through a doorway into a small home, out the back door, and then back up, like, pulls up to avoid crashing into a building. And the fused are just fucking right on top of him. He keeps trying to escape them, but another group corners him, and Nightblood is like, looks like we're cornered. Time to fight, right? Accept death and die slaying as many as possible? I'm ready. Let's do it. I'm ready to be a noble sacrifice. And Zeth is like, I don't win if I die. And so he just fucking throws the gemstone as hard as he can. And the fused go after it. And he drops down to where Lyft is sitting. And he goes, I have failed to carry this burden. That's okay. Your weird face is burden enough for one man. Your words are wise, he said, nodding. Lyft rolled her eyes. You're right, Sword. He's not very fun, is he? I think he's Nightblood says, I think he's devy anyway. And then Lyft and Nightblood start laughing, and Zeth is like, what the fuck does that mean? Zeth says, we have not fulfilled the Blackthorn's demands. I could not stay ahead of those fuse long enough to deliver the stone to our master. And Lyft says, yeah, I saw. But I've got an idea. People are always after stuff, but they don't really like the stuff. They like having the stuff. These words are not so wise. What do you mean? Simple. The best way to rob someone is to leave them thinking that nothing is wrong. And we cut to Shallan's point of view. Shallan clung to Vale's and Radiant's hands. She'd long since fallen to her knees, staring ahead as tears leaked from her eyes. She'd made thousands of illusions. Each one was her. A portion of her mind, a portion of her soul. She thinks that she's combining soul casting with her light weaving here, creating gushes of blood from the illusions and sounds of a battle to keep the enemy distracted even more. Each one of her illusions that died hit her with a little shock, a sliver of her dying. Those were reborn as she pushed them out to dance again. The illusion absorbed her entirely, and she lost track of everything else. She gripped Vale's and Radiant's hands together. They knelt beside her. Hey, could you, stop hugging yourself for a minute? I need some help. And we cut to Kaladin's point of view. Kaladin tries to stab Amaram, but his spear slides off his shard blade. Amaram laughs, and he goes, you have great form, spearman. Do you remember when you first came to me? Back in that village when you begged me to take you? You were a blubbering child who wanted so badly to be a soldier. The glory of the battle. I could see the lust in your eyes, boy. Kaladin changes Syl into a blade because that's the only thing that'll be able to crack the shard blade or the shard plate.
And he doesn't respond. I didn't do it for that. I did it because I wanted to protect my brother. He doesn't say that?
He doesn't say anything back yet. At this point, he's ignoring Amaram. He ducks under one of Amaram's shard blades.
Shut up and die already.
Smashes the shit out of the back of Amaram's plate, cracking it. And then he's about to attack again when Amaram slammed his foot down and his shard blade boot shatters. As Kaladin came in for his attack, Amaram tapped
his foot.
Actually, Amaram taps his foot and the stone ground becomes liquid for a moment. Kaladin stumbles, sinking down several inches, and then it hardens in a moment, locking his feet in place. So, Kaladin's feet. Amaram has 9 of the 10 surges. Amaram swings with the 2 shard blades, and becomes a halberd so that he can block both of them, but the force sends Kaladin to the ground, snapping both of his legs. So, you know.
Dang it. I didn't mean break his feet.
Kaladin gets his feet free of the ground, and Amaram, like, breaks his other foot and starts to slide around like Lyft can. Syl becomes a shield, and Kaladin barely blocks an attack. And then he flies away, trying to get out of range. Syl points out that there are more fused getting close to Dalinar. So he gets really frustrated, and he just kind of fucking throws 2 stones. One at the head of the fused to get her to fuck off, and the other at Amaram's horse to get rid of the shard bow, because the shard bow is, like, linked to the horse. It's strapped on. And Kaladin's like, I've killed a guy wearing shard plate before. I can do it again. And he's like, oh, but fucking, he's got all these other powers. What do I do?
Yeah, it's like, I've killed someone in Shardplate. I didn't kill someone in Shardplate who has magic powers.
He's like, what do I do? And Syl's like, I don't know, stab it in the face? And so he's like, all right, yeah, let's try it. So Kaladin flies at Amaram, and
He is about to ram a spear through Amaram's face when a fuse just fucking comes out of nowhere with a massive club and smashes Kaladin with it, sending him down to the ground.
Yikes.
And this fused, his carapace can, like, grow around his body to become weapons, and he has joined the fight. And we cut to Adolin's point of view.
Yes, that's another... Is that another surge?
I think it's one of the surges. I just don't know which one. We cut to Adolin's point of view. Adolin reaches a higher level of the city where civilians are trying to flee higher towards the Oathgate, and soldiers are struggling to go the opposite direction toward the fighting. He followed the thunderclass that was climbing towards the Oathgate using the rubble left behind as stairs. A handful of Thalens fought here, trying to bring the thunderclass down. A soldier got in close and tried to hit the monster's leg with a hammer, and the weapon bounced off, and that soldier ends up getting stomped. Adolin summoned his shardblade. "This is what you were designed for, isn't it?" Adolin said softly. "It was for fighting things like that. Shardblades are impractically long for duels, and played as overkill even on the battlefield. But against a monster of stone..." He felt something. "You want to fight it, don't you? It reminds you of when you were alive." Something tickled his mind like a sigh. A single word. Maya Lauren. A name. "Right, Maya. Let's bring that thing down." He charges out and just starts fucking hacking at the thing's ankle. It cries out and tries to crush him with its hand, sending him flying through the air. As it stares down at him, he's like, "That thing kind of looks like a fucking chasm fiend." No time to think about that now, though. The thunderclass swings at him again, and he barrels into a nearby home, leaping over the furniture and cutting a hole in the wall of the other side. He hesitates as he hears a whimper and finds a young boy hiding. "I could use one of those storming radiants about now." He pulls the boy out of the building right as the thunderclass crushes it with his fist. A soldier takes the boy, and Adolin tries to circle around the monster. The troops are just unable to distract it, and so Adolin jumps into another house through the window, crosses the interior, and jumps out the other window as the thunderclass crushes it from behind. It swings for the building in front of him, and he pulls back, letting it pass over him. He runs between its legs, slashing at the ankles again, and as it tries to take another step, it breaks. But it still manages to balance on the stump of its leg, and Adolin prepares to continue fighting when a hand and shard plate reached out of a building nearby, grabbed Adolin, and pulled him inside. We cut to Dalinar's POV. Dalinar held his hands out to the sides, enveloped by the thrill. It returned every memory he hated about himself. Though he had once crawled before the Night Watcher to beg for release, he no longer wished to forget. "I embrace you. I accept what I was." The thrill colored his sight red. "Thank you for giving me strength when I needed it." The thrill thrummed with a pleased sound. It drew in closer to him. Dalinar was once again walking on the stone toward the rift, intent on murdering everyone inside. "I was that man. I understand you." And then we cut to Venli's point of view. Venli crept away from the battlefield, feeling strangely sick. The rhythms were going crazy inside her, merging and fighting. She passed fused, arguing about what to do now that Odium had withdrawn. Rhythms piled over rhythms. Agony, conceit, destruction, lost. "There," Venli thought. "Grab that." She attuned the rhythm of the lost. Timber thrummed the same rhythm. Why did that feel different from before? Timber vibrated through Venli's entire being. Lost. What had Venli lost? Venli missed being someone who cared about something other than power. Knowledge, favoritism, forms, wealth. It was all the same to her. Where had she gone wrong? Timber pulsed. Venli dropped to her knees. She could see her own eyes in the polished, wet rock. There wasn't a hint of red in them. "Life," she whispered. The king of the Alethi had reached out toward her. Dalinar Kholin, the man whose brother they'd killed. But he'd reached from the Pillar of Glory Spren all the same and spoken to her. "You can change. Life before death. You can become a better person. Strength before weakness. I did." "Sure." Someone grabbed Venli roughly and spun her, slamming her to the ground. A fused with the form that grew carapace like shard plate. He looked Venli up and down. The fuse seized her pouch, the one that hid Timber. She screamed and clawed at his hands, but he shoved her back, then ripped open the pouch. Then he turned it inside out. "I could have sworn." He tossed the pouch aside. "You failed to obey the word of passion. You did not attack the enemy when commanded." I was frightened. And weak." "You cannot be weak in his service. You must choose who you will serve." I choose! He nodded, then stalked back toward the battlefield.
Venli climbed to her feet and made her way towards one of the ships. She stumbled up the gangway. In her mind played the rhythm of joy, one of the old rhythms her people had learned long ago, after casting out their gods. Timber pulsed from within her, inside her gem heart. "I'm still wearing one of their forms," Venli said. "There was a void sprint in my gem heart. How?" Timber pulsed to resolve. "You've done what?" "Resolve again." "But how can you keep a void sprint captive?" Timber pulsed to victory within her. Venli rushed toward the ship's cabin, then took a ruby sphere from the lantern. She held up the sphere, and then she drank it in. Her skin started glowing with a soft white light. Journey before destination.
Yeah!
I love the image of Timber just in Venli's fucking gem heart, and there's a fucking void sprint in there just tied up with rope, like with a gag. Like, I got him, boss.
Wait, what about the other thing? Oh, don't worry. He's tied up in the basement.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, like,
yeah, don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it.
I'm in control now.
Future Sean here while editing. We had to record the rest of this on a different day. So just for context, we're picking up from Adolin's point of view. He sees the person who pulled him into the building. It is one of the Thalen shard bearers who introduces himself as Herdalm. And Herdalm is like, "I have come to stop the monster." And Herdalm has a shard plate and Adolin has a shard blade. So, you know, together they equal a full person. So Herdalm is going to take the hits from the Thunderclass while Adolin slices at it. Adolin hides by the window of the building while Herdalm just kind of charges out and gets the monster's attention. Once it's distracted, he leaps out of the window and charges. Two fused immediately swoop down and knock Herdalm to the ground. And then the Thunderclass turns right back on Adolin. And I'm going to read from the book here. "All right, Maya," Adolin said. "We've practiced this." He wound up, then hurled the shard blade, which spun before slamming into the fused on Herdalm's chest.
I feel like him naming the blade is very important.
Well, he got Maya Lauren from the spren.
Wait.
Like, he didn't name her Maya Lauren.
Oh, that's true.
He heard her voice.
I feel like the fact that she told him her name is very important. Because was Syl talking to Kaladin before she gave him her name, or was it after?
Yes, she talked to him before she gave her name.
Mm. But it was still very early.
Yeah. But I don't know if you remember this, but this was, I think, last book, Adolin, like, this was something that he'd been trying to learn how to do that, like, nobody can do, which is throw a shard blade and make it, like, not disappear immediately after throwing it. So the fact that he's able to do this right here is a big deal.
Hmm.
Herdalm sat up, then looked at Adolin with amazement. Adolin begins summoning Maya back as the monster tries to crush him. Maya falls into his hand as the creature's hand comes down and he manages to dodge between two of the fingers. He grabs onto the finger and hangs from it as the monster drags its hand across the ground. As it stops, he drops from the finger and chops straight through it, and the finger slams into him and flings him backward. He struck the ground and rolled. He squeezed his eyes shut against the pain. Then he crawled to his feet, and that thing was still right behind him. 1. The roadway in front of him was piled with rubble. 2. He limped to the right. 3. 4. The Thunderclast followed. 5. 6. He fell to his knees. 7. Maya, please! Blessedly, as he raised his hands, the blade materialized. Before 10 heartbeats. He rolls off a ledge, slamming the blade into the wall and using it to catch himself. The Thunderclass hand sweeps over Adolin and he drops 10 feet to the ground below. He collapsed to the rooftop, and as he lay there in agony, he felt something. He forced himself to roll to the side and a fused swept past. He started counting again and climbed to his knees. The Thunderclass rams its foot into the center of the roof that Adolin is on, and he falls through, hitting the ground inside. Everything goes black. He could only lie there. At least, it wasn't continuing toward the Oathgate. Adolin shifted. He recovered his breath and tried to move, but his leg... Maya brushed his mind. "I'm trying to get up," he said. "Give me a sec, Storming Sword." He finally rolled off the rubble. He crawled out onto the street, half expecting Scar and Drahi to be there. Storms, he missed those Bridgemen. The street was empty, but nearby he could see people trying to flee to the Oathgate. He sneered at the looming monster and pulled himself to his feet. Maya dropped into his hand. He steadied himself. "Come and get me, you bastard." "Adolin?" "Storms, Adolin, what are you doing?" Adolin glanced over his shoulder. A glowing figure pushed through the crowd.
Renarin carried a shard blade. Took you long enough. As Renarin approached, the Thunderclast actually took a step back as if afraid. Adolin steadied himself. All right, let's... Adolin, don't be foolhardy. Renarin grabbed his arm. A burst of healing moved through Adolin. But get away! You're unarmored. You'll get yourself killed fighting this thing. But I can handle it, Adolin. Just go, please.
I don't Adolin like those stumbled words. Back.
He'd never like heard such words. Forceful talk from Renarin.
I mean, I figure Renarin has to be okay, right? Because he's a main character in the second half, but like...
And he can heal. He can heal.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, never mind. I was like, that sounds like death flags, yeah. But never mind.
Yeah. He'd never heard such forceful talk from Renarin. Renarin, shockingly, charged at the thing. A clatter
Hello?
Announced Herdalm climbing down from above. He carried one of the lances from the fused. The Thunderclass palm crashed down on Renarin, smashing him. Adolin screamed, but his brother's shard blade cut up through the palm, then separated the hand from the wrist. He seemed to heal more quickly than Kaladin or Shallan did, as if being crushed wasn't even a bother. Excellent, Herdalm said. You rest, okay? Adolin nodded. As Herdalm stepped toward the fight, Adolin took the man by the arm. Go with him for now, Maya, Adolin thought. He almost wished she'd object, but the vague sensation he received was a resigned agreement. Herdalm dropped his lance and took the blade reverently. Great honor in you, Prince Adolin, he said. Great passion in me at this aid. Go, Adolin said. I'll see if I can help hold the streets. Herdalm charged off, and Adolin made toward the roadway behind. And we cut to Zeth's point of view.
Yay.
Zeth of the Skybreakers had, fortunately, trained with all 10 surges. One of the fused, who can move like Lift, takes the gemstone and he flies after her. Zeth had not only carried an honor blade that had granted this power, he had practiced with skates on ice, a training exercise that mimicked an edge dancer's movements.
Ice skating! They got to do ice skating! That's cool.
Yeah, as they were training this child soldier how to fight with all of the 10 surges. Once the fused was confident she controlled the race, Zeth struck. He collided with her and lashed her upward. That sent her flying into the air with a scream. Zeth landed, whipped off his jacket as she dropped the gemstone. He caught it in the jacket, held like a pouch. He lashed himself eastward toward the city. One of the fused was gathering soldiers who were real, trying to gather a force to push through the illusions and enter the city. Above, many fused swooped in to intercept Zeth. As the first fused came for him, Zeth ducked into a roll and canceled his lashing. He collided with a rock, acting dazed. He then shook his head and launched into the air again. 8 fused gave chase, and though Zeth dodged between them, one eventually got close enough to seize his pouch. Zeth goes back to the rock he had collided with, which turns out to be an illusion from Shallan, which housed Lift. They'd swapped pouches when he faked his collision. He lashes her into the air, and then they fly over towards the red mist, and then he slows them to a halt. What? Lift asked. Crazy face? I cannot go into that mist. I must be away from this place. The whispers. I got it, she said. Go back and help the redhead. He dropped Lift to the ground and backed away. The little girl stopped at the border of the mist, then stepped inside. And we cut to Kaladin's point of view. Amaram was screaming in pain. Kaladin sparred with the fused and couldn't spare a glance. He cuts through the fused's forearms and the creature backs up. Amaram's screaming voice approached and Syl became a shield, blocking a set of sweeping blows from the screaming High Lord. The stone ground somehow burned beneath his feet, leaving flaming tracks behind. The High Prince battered against the Syl shield with 2 shard blades. She grew a latticework on the outside. What are you doing? Improvising. Amaram struck again and Helleran's sword got tangled. Kaladin spun the shield, wrenching the sword out of Amaram's grip. The hulking fuse charged him and the force of the club's blow flung Kaladin. Dalinar was a shadow with 2 flying fuse besetting him. He couldn't defeat them all. He shot down toward the ground. The hulking fuse came for him, and instead of dodging, Kaladin let the creature ram a knife into his stomach. He grabbed the creature's hand and lashed him upward and toward the mist. The fuse flipped past his companions in the air, shouting something that sounded like a plea for help, and they zipped after him. Kaladin took to the sky and Syl became a lance. Kaladin made a charging pass, and Amaram batted the Syl lance aside with a shard blade. Amaram launched himself into the air. He soared in an incredible leap, and he hung there for a time. Syl! Syl, that was a lashing! What is he? I don't know, but we don't have much time before those fused return. Kaladin swept down and landed, shortening Syl to a halberd. Amaram spun on him. Can you feel it? The beauty of the fight? Kaladin ducked in and rammed Syl at Amaram's cracked breastplate. It could have been so glorious. You, me, Dalinar, together on the same side. The wrong side. Is it wrong to want to help the ones who truly own this land? Is it not honorable? It's not Amaram I speak to anymore, is it? Who or what are you? Oh, it's me. Odium promised me something grand, and that promise has been kept. With honor. You still pretend to speak of honor? Everything I do is for honor. It was honor that drove me to seek the return of the heralds, of powers, and of our god. So you could join the other side? Odium showed me what the heralds have become. We spent years trying to get them to return, but they were here all along. They abandoned us, spearmen. Amaram carefully circled Kaladin. He's waiting for the fuse to come help. That's why he's being cautious now. I hurt once. Did you know that? After I was forced to kill your squad, I... hurt. Until I realized it wasn't my fault. None of this is my fault. Kaladin attacked. The ground rippled and became liquid. Fire trailed behind Amaram's arms as he swung. Somehow, he briefly ignited the very air. Kaladin blocked one blade, then the other. After a few more exchanges, he was forced to retreat. You're outclassed, spearmen. Give in and convince the city to surrender. That is for the best. No more need die today. Let me be merciful. Like you were merciful to my friends? Like you were merciful to me when you gave me these brands? I left you alive. I spared you. An attempt to assuage your conscience. A failed attempt. I made you, Kaladin. I gave you that granite will, that warrior's poise. This, the person you've become, was my gift. A gift at the expense of everyone I loved? What do you care? It made you strong. Your men died in the name of battle, so that the strongest man would have the weapon. Anyone would have done what I did, even Dalinar himself. Didn't you tell me you'd given up that grief? Yes, I'm beyond guilt. Then why do you still hurt? Amaram flinched. Murderer. You've switched sides to find peace, Amaram, but you won't ever have it. He'll never give it to you. Amaram roared, sweeping in with his shard blades. Kaladin lashed himself upward, then twisted and came back down. Syl became a hammer, which crashed against the back of Amaram's plate. The breastplate exploded. The High Prince's entire chest had collapsed inward. There was no sign of ribs or internal organs. Instead, a large violet crystal pulsed inside his chest cavity, overgrown with dark veins. He turned toward Kaladin. Everything I've done for Alethkar. I'm a patriot! If that's true, why do you still hurt? Amaram screamed, charging him. Kaladin raised Syl, who became a shard blade. Today, what I do for the men you killed. I am the man I've become because of them. I made you. I forged you. He leaped at Kaladin, hanging in the air, and in so doing, he entered Kaladin's domain. Kaladin launched at Amaram. The High Prince swung, but the winds themselves curled around Kaladin. He lashed himself to the side, narrowly avoiding one blade, and Windspren streaked past him as he dodged the other. Syl became a spear. He spun and slammed her against the gemstone at Amaram's heart. The amethyst cracked, and Amaram faltered in the air, then dropped. Kaladin floated down toward him. 10 spears go to battle, and 9 shatter. Did that war forge the one that remained? No, Amaram. All the war did was identify the spear that would not break. Amaram climbed to his knees, howling and clutching the gemstone at his chest, which went out. Syl shouted in Kaladin's mind. He barely dodged as 2 fused swooped past. 2 more came in from the left, 1 from the right. A 6th carried the hulking fused back. They'd gone to fetch friends. And we cut to Renarin's point of view. Renarin puffed in and out as the thunderclast collapsed. Renarin and his companion had cut off both legs at the knees. The Thalen slapped him on the back. Very good fighting. It will fear you, Gliss said from within Renarin. It will go. Make it so that it will go. What do I do? Light. You will make it go with light. It will go. Renarin raised his fist and summoned Stormlight. And the red molten eyes faded before that light. His Thalen companion approached. Good. Excellent. Go help with the fighting, Renarin said. I need to open the Oath Gate in person. The man obeyed without question. Renarin lingered with that stone corpse. I was supposed to have died. I saw myself die. He shook his head, then hiked toward the upper reaches of the city. And we cut to Shallan's point of view. Shallan, Vale, and Radiant held hands in a ring. The three flowed, faces changing, identities melding. Together, they had raised an army. It was dying now. Fuse had organized the enemy. These refused to be distracted. "We've strained ourselves too far," they thought. Three Fused approached. "Tired," Shallan said. "Satisfied," Radiant said. "Worried," Vale said. They wanted to move, needed to move, but it hurt to watch their army die. One figure didn't melt like the others. A woman with jet black hair. It blew free as she stepped between the enemy and Shallan, Radiant, and Vale. The ground turned glossy, the surface of the stone soulcast into oil. Yasna soulcast a spark from the air, igniting the oil and casting up a field of flames. "That should buy us a few moments." Yasna turned toward Radiant, Vale, and Shallan. She took Shallan by the arm, but Shallan wavered, then puffed away. Yasna froze, then turned to Vale. "Here," Radiant said, stumbling to her feet. She was the one Yasna could feel. So, why this might be relevant is because during this scene, Radiant is wearing shardplate, as was said earlier. So if Radiant is the real one, and not an illusion, that means that Shallan is wearing shardplate, which would mean that she has shardplate, which is like, huh?
Wait, what? So Shallan turned into Stormlight. Why was she pretending to be Radiant?
I think it was just Radiant was who she had shifted to in that during that time.
And so the other two then shifted to the other versions of her.
Yeah, they were just Stormlight, yeah. We know that things are weird with Shallan because she had started swearing oaths as a kid and then, like, you know, has started going back over them.
But that implies that she reached the fifth, doesn't it? Or is it fourth?
Fourth. It would be fourth. But it's really unclear. Like I said, Shallan is so hard to track. I'm hoping book five is going to make everything very clear. But the fact that Radiant is the one that's real here could be very important. Shallan blinks away tears. "Are you real?" "Yes, Shallan. You did well out here." Shallan touched Radiant's arm. "Perhaps I should have opened a pit beneath them instead." Shallan winced as the last of her army vanished. Amaram's troops had begun to form ranks again. "Come," Yasna said, pulling Vale back to the wall, where steps grew from the stone itself. The three want to try and practice soul casting since they've ignored it for too long, and Yasna tries to give them a quick lesson, but they're too exhausted. "It is well, Shallan," Yasna said. "I merely wanted to see, as it seemed you were soul casting to give your illusions weight. But then, concentrated stormlight has a faint mass to it. Either way, up the steps, child." Radiant started up the stone steps. Behind, Yasna waved her hand toward the approaching Fused, and stone formed from air, completely encasing them. Feeling exhausted, Vale, Shallan, and Radiant trudged up and finally reached the top of the wall. And we cut to Renarin's point of view. Renarin reaches the top of the city and begins to walk toward the Oathgate platform. A dozen Fused hovered in the sky above the Oathgate. "This," Gliss said, "would be bad." A young girl waves to him from a nearby building, and he enters it, finding it filled with the Alethi Ardents and scribes. Teshiv asks for news, and Renarin asks where General Kahl and his men are. She tells him that they'd gone back to Yirithiru for troops and were now fighting off some sort of assault there. Kadash says that Sabariel's armies have pulled back to the upper levels of Yirithiru with Aladars, and that the Singers hold the Oathgate Plateau. They say that the enemy strike force isn't big enough to take the tower, but will keep reinforcements from coming. Teshiv adds that they can't get in contact with Malada or any of the Carbranth party, and that they're the only ones capable of opening the Oathgate anyways, because Malada's the only Radiant there. "The portal has to be opened," Renarin said. "Your Highness," Teshiv said, "you can't fight them all. There's nobody else." Shockingly, nobody called for him to stop. All his life, they'd done that. "No, Renarin, that's not for you. You can't do that. You're not well, Renarin. Be reasonable, Renarin." He'd always been reasonable. He'd always listened. It felt wonderful and terrifying at once to know that nobody did that today. Renarin stepped outside. Terrified, he strode down the street, summoning Gliss as a shard blade. As he approached the ramp up to the Oathgate, the Fused descended. Four landed on the ramp before him, then gave him a salute. Renarin was so frightened. Not very noble or brave now, was he? "Ah, what will come now?" Gliss said. "What emerges?" One of his fits struck him. Not the old fits where he grew weak. He had new ones now that neither he nor Gliss could control. To his eyes, glass grew across the ground. It spread out like crystals, forming lattices, images, meanings, and pathways. Stained glass pictures, panel after panel. These had always been right. Until today. Until they had proclaimed that Yasna's Kolin love Yasna Kolin's love would fail. He read this latest set of stained glass images, then felt his fear drain away. He smiled. This seemed to confuse the Fused as they lowered their salutes. "You're wondering why I'm smiling," Renarin said. They didn't respond. "Don't worry. You didn't miss something funny. I doubt you'll find it amusing." Light exploded from the Oathgate platform in a wave. The Fused cried out, zipping into the air. A luminous wall expanded from the Oathgate platform in a ring, trailing a glowing afterimage. It faded to reveal an entire division of Alethi troops in Kolin blue, standing upon the Oathgate platform. Then, like a herald from lore, a man rose into the air above them. Glowing white with stormlight, the bearded man, man carried a long silver shard spear. Teft. Knight Radiant.
Let's go!
And we cut to Shallan's point of view. Shallan sat with her back against the battlement. Navani had given her stormlight and water. Pattern hummed from the side of Vale's jacket. "Shallan, you did well, Shallan. Very well." "An honorable stand," Radiant agreed. "One against many, and we held our ground." "Longer than we should have," Vale said. "We were already exhausted." "We're still ignoring too much," Shallan said. "We're getting too good at pretending." Pattern hummed concerned. "I'm tired," Shallan whispered. "You don't have to worry. After I rest, I'll recover and settle down to being just one. I actually don't think I'm quite as lost as I was before." Yasna, Navani, and Queen Fen whispered together farther along the wall. Thalen generals joined them. The defense, in their opinion, was going poorly. Vale pushed herself to her feet and surveyed the battlefield. "We delayed the enemy," Radiant said, "but didn't defeat them. We still have an overwhelming army to face." Pattern says, "Shallan, look beyond." Out nearer the bay, thousands upon thousands of fresh parchment troops had begun to carry ladders off their ships to use in a full-on assault. And we cut back to Renarin's point of view. "Tell the men not to give chase to those Fused," Renarin said to Lopin. "We need to hold the Oathgate, first and foremost." "Good enough, sure," Lopin said, launching into the air and going to relay the order to Teft. The Fused clashed with Bridge 4 in the air above the city. Renarin worried they were deliberately drawing Bridge 4 away from the Oathgate. The Alethi division marched into the city. 2,000 men wasn't going to do much if those parchment outside joined the battle, but it was a start. As they reunited with Teshuv, turning her scribe station into a command post, Rock and Lin landed next to Renarin. "Ha!" Rock said. "What happened to uniform is needing my needle. I got hit by a large block of stone 20 times. You're not one to complain anyway. Is that blood on your uniform?" "Is nothing. We had to carry him all the way down to the Oathgate," Lin said. "We were trying to get him to you, but he started drawing in stormlight as soon as he got here." "Kaladin is close. Ha, I feed him. But here, today, he fed me. With light. Storming Horneater weighs as much as a chull. Kara will fight with the others. Don't tell anyone, but she's been practicing with a spear since childhood, the little cheater. But Rock won't fight, and I've only been handling a spear for a few weeks now. Any idea where you want us?" "I'm, not really in command or anything." "Really? That's your best Knight Radiant voice?" And Rock laughs at that. "I think I used up all my radianting for the day. I'll work the Oathgate and get more troops here. Maybe you two could go down and help on the city wall, pull wounded out of the front lines." "Is good idea," Rock said. Lin nodded and flew off, but Rock lingered, then grabbed Renarin in a very warm, suffocating, and unexpected embrace. Renarin did his best not to squirm. It wasn't the first hug he'd endured from Rock. "Why?" Renarin said. "You look like a person who needed hug. I assure you, I never look like that. But, I am glad you guys came. Really, really glad." "Bridge 4, Rock said, then launched into the air. Renarin settled down nearby on some steps, trembling from it all, but grinning anyway. And we cut to Dalinar's point of view. Dalinar drifted in the thrill's embrace. He'd once believed he had been four men in his life, but he now saw he'd grossly underestimated. He hadn't lived as two or four or six men. He had lived as thousands. For each day, he became someone slightly different. He hadn't changed in one giant leap, but across a million little steps. "The most important, always being the next," he thought as he drifted in the red mist. A small hand gripped Dalinar's. "Lift, you shouldn't have come in here." "But I'm the best at going places I'm not supposed to." She pressed something into his hand, the large ruby. "Bless you." "What is it? Why do we need that rock?" "Do you know how we capture Spren, Dalinar?" Taravangian had said.
You lure the Spren with something it loves. You give it something familiar to draw it in. Something it knows deeply. Shallan saw one of the Unmade in the tower. When she got close, it was afraid, but I don't think the thrill comprehends like it did. You see, it can only be bested by someone who deeply, sincerely understands it. He lifted the gemstone above his hand and head, and one last time embraced the thrill. War, victory, the contest. Dalinar's entire life had been a competition. He accepted what he had done. It would always be part of him. And though he was determined to resist, he would not cast aside what he had learned. That very thirst for the struggle had also prepared him to refuse Odium. Thank you for giving me strength when I needed it. The thrill churned close around him, cooing and exulting in his praise. Now, old friend, it is time to rest. And we cut to Kaladin's point of view. Keep moving. Kaladin dodged and wove, avoiding some strikes, healing from others. Keep them distracted. He tried to take to the skies, but the eight fews swarmed about him, knocking him back down. He hit the stone ground, then lashed himself away from lances or clubs. Can't actually escape. He had to keep their attention. If he managed to slip away, all of these would turn against Dalinar. You don't have to beat them. You simply have to last long enough. He dodged to the right, but one of the big fews, there were four of them now, grabbed him by the foot and slammed him down to the ground. He kicked her off, but another grabbed him by the arm and flung him to the side. Flying ones descended, and he warded away their lances with the Syl shield. Just buy them time. Dalinar needs time. Syl sang in his mind as he spun, forming a spear and ramming it through the chest of one of the hulking ones. He made Syl into a sword and swept upward through the head, burning her eyes. Another fuse swung, but as it hit, Kaladin lashed it upward, dragging it into another fused above. Another clobbered him from the side, sending him rolling. He immediately summoned Syl as a spear, pointing straight up. That impaled the fuse, dropping down to attack him, causing its eyes to burn. Another grabbed him by the foot, lifted him, then slammed him face first into the ground. The fuse stomped a foot onto his back, shattering ribs. He screamed, and though the stormlight healed what it could, the last of it fluttered inside. Then went out. A sudden sound rose behind Kaladin, that of rushing air. The fuse stumbled backward, then remarkably, it turned and ran. Kaladin twisted. He couldn't make out Dalinar anymore, but the mist itself had begun to thrash. More fuse fled. The red mist imploded, vanishing. All went dark. Kaladin found himself lying broken on the ground. He could see something streaking from the city, brilliant white lights flying in the air. A scraping sound came from nearby. A shadow stumbled to its feet. Emaram's glowing red eyes illuminated a distorted face. He stumbled toward Kaladin, a shard blade forming in his hand. The one that had killed Kaladin's friends so long ago. Emaram, I can see what you are. What you've always been. Kaladin was struck by a memory of the first time he'd seen the High Lord at Hearthstone. So tall and brave. Seemingly perfect. I saw it in your eyes, Emaram. When you killed Korib and Hab, and my other friends, I saw the guilt you felt. You tried to break me as a slave, but you failed. They rescued me. Maybe it's time for someone to save you, Syl had said, but someone already had. Emaram raised the shard blade high. Bridge 4. An arrow slammed into Amaram's head from behind, going right through the skull, coming out his inhuman mouth. Emaram stumbled forward, dropping his shard blade. He made a choking sound, then turned about just in time to catch another arrow straight in the chest, right through the flickering gemstone heart. The amethyst exploded, and Amaram dropped in a crumpled wreck beside Kaladin. A glowing figure stood on some rubble beyond, holding Amaram's enormous shard bow. The weapon seemed to match rock, tall and brilliant, a beacon in the darkness. Amaram's red eyes faded as he died, and Kaladin had the distinct impression of a dark smoke escaping his corpse. Two shard blades formed beside him and clanged to the stone. Rock killed Amaram for Kaladin.
Oh my gosh, Rock!
He broke his oath.
Rock killed a man.
This is going to have repercussions.
I'm sure it will. Poor Rock.
We go to Shallan's point of view. The soldiers made a space for Radiant on the wall as they prepared for the enemy assault. Amaram's army formed assault ranks while Parshman carried ladders ready to charge. They looked to Shallan as if she could save them. The Knights Radiant were the only edge this city had, their best hope of survival. That terrified her. The armies started charging the wall. The lights in their eyes went out. All across the field, red faded from the eyes of Amaram's soldiers. Many immediately fell to their knees, retching on the ground. Others stumbled. It was like the very life had been sucked out of them.
Cheers erupted along the wall as the fuse retreated back toward the ships. The Parshmen rushed to follow, as did many of Amaram's troops, though some just lay on the broken stones. Lethargically, the black storm faded. It finally rolled across the island and vanished to the east.
Let's go. Also, Amaram's dead. Let's go.
Yes. We cut one last time to Kaladin's point of view. Kaladin drank Stormlight from Lopin's gemstones. Be lucky the Horde Eater was looking for you, Gon, Lopin said. The rest of us would thought we'd just fight, you know? Kaladin glanced toward Rock, who stood over Amaram's body, looking down, the enormous bow held limply in one hand. How had he drawn it? Stormlight granted great endurance, but it didn't vastly improve strength. Whoa, Lopin said. Goncho, look! The clouds had thinned, and sunlight peeked through, illuminating the field of stone. Dalinar Kolin knelt not far away. The Reshi girl stood with her hand resting on his shoulder. The Blackthorn was crying. Dalinar, Kaladin asked, jogging over. What happened?
It is over, Captain, Dalinar said.
Then he smiled. So were they tears of joy? Why'd he seem so grieved?
It's over.
And that is where we'll stop for tonight.
Huh.
That is the Battle of Thalen Field. Huh. Or, well, I guess it's the city for the second half, but Dalinar trapped the thrill in that big gemstone.
Why were they trying to steal it if they didn't... They weren't gonna trap the thrill.
Odium said that this was a last-minute precaution because he saw something that would have fucked them over big time.
Oh, like them trapping the thrill. Which did, in fact, happen, so...
Yes. So he was like, we gotta go get that, because if they have it, we're fucked. They would have been fucked immediately.
Yeah.
So that's why they went for it first. We still have quite a few good twists to come in the ending here. Some cathartic moments. I think the epilogue is quite a twist as well. So I'm excited for us to get to that.
The epilogue's always wit, though.
It's always wit. And we've had some kind of twists before. Like, I mean, they've been twists every time. Like, Khaln shows up at the end of the first one. Yasna shows up at the end of the second one.
Yeah.
But this third one, I was caught very off guard by. Third was the one I was caught the most off guard by. Fourth is the one that scared me the most.
Wonderful. Love that.
We have a Discord. The link is in the episode description. You guys can follow us on Twitter at SpeakStormlight. You guys can email us at speakthewordsasp@gmail.com. You guys can follow me on Twitter at Sean_AFK. And our cover art was made by our good friend Alx. That's at Alx_BigBoy on Twitter. Thank you for listening. We'll see you guys next time. Until then, life before death, strength before weakness, journey before destination.